Well, indeed. It's already been good to be in the house of the Lord. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, Lord, we've come to the point where in the service we need you to speak to us. And Lord, you've seen fit to place me behind the podium this morning. And Father, I just asked that you'd use me. Father, I don't deserve to be here. But Lord, I thank you for the opportunity. I thank you, Lord, for working in my life. And Father, I pray that people wouldn't see me this morning. Lord, they'd see you. And Lord, that they would relate what I say from your word into how they can use it in their lives. And Lord, I thank you for the lessons that I've learned about this subject. And I ask, Lord, that you'd help me to abide by it as well. In Jesus' name as I ask it. Amen. So it's no secret to anybody that I'm an outdoorsman. And more specifically, that I enjoy using firearms. I consider myself sometimes similar to a mechanic. Now, Brother Artis, how can you be like a mechanic with a firearm? Well, a mechanic is always looking for the best tool for a job and how best to use that tool for what he wants to do. So that's how I relate that. Now, I'm trying to consider, what's it designed to do? Is there some way that I can adjust it or modify it to make it better for what I need it for? And I derive great enjoyment out of doing that. It's fascinating to me how you can make a little projectile go where you want it to go. I'm a simple man. It doesn't take much to amuse me. But if I ever forget that firearm is dangerous, disaster is ready to happen. That's what I hope to impart on you today, not the danger of firearms, but God has given us a tool that if we understand how to use it and we understand how dangerous it can be, it will make us better servants of Christ. So the book of James, or in the book of James, it's a book of action, and we're going to be in James this morning, James chapter 3. And a couple of things that come about, ideas. Faith is not something that is intangible and does nothing. Now think about that. Faith is not intangible. What's that mean? Well, you can't put your hand on it, but it does something. We also hear the statement, faith without works is dead. Think about that. If your faith doesn't produce actions, it's meaningless in the service of the Lord. You say, I have faith. Okay? If it's not producing actions, it's worthless. Now, having those ideas, faith then must also have influence over every part of us. Do you agree with that? Okay. So today we're going to focus on one part of our body that I believe God wants to use. And this is a little member, and it rates an entire chapter in the Word of God. So, if I hear this statement, dynamite comes in little packages, all of you come up with some, you know, part of that. But I've got a little clip here I want to show you about dynamite. And it's something that can be used very skillfully if you're ready. How many of you were expecting all three to go down? All right. So, great power is available to the user of this tool. Very few, however, are skilled in using it properly. Very few people are skilled in using dynamite properly. Okay? It renders massive destruction when it's used incorrectly. Now there, it was used correctly. And it saved those guys, that company, lots of hours of work. Now they can, everything's on the ground, they don't have to worry about anything falling on them, any, you know, workers, any of that. Not that it's not going to be dangerous, you know, removing that rubble, but they've eliminated a lot of danger by using that tool properly. But when it's used correctly, it saves much time and effort. Probably by now you know that I'm talking about the tongue. Our tongue is a very, very powerful, very, very dangerous thing. And yet, it can also be the greatest tool to use for God. So let's go ahead and turn to James chapter 3. And we'll start in verse number 1. My brethren, be not many masters, knowing that we shall receive the greater condemnation. For in many things we offend all. If any man offend not in word, the same is a perfect man, and able to also bridle the whole body. Behold, we put bits in the horses' mouths, that they may obey us, and we turn about their whole body. Behold also the ships, which though they be so great and are driven of fierce winds, yet are they turned about with a very small helm, whithersoever the governor listeth. There you go. Even so the tongue is a little member, and boasteth great things. Behold how great a matter a little fire kindleth. And the tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity. So is the tongue among our members, and it defileth the whole body, and setteth on fire the course of nature, and it is set on fire of hell. For every kind of beasts and of birds and of serpents and of things in the sea is tamed and hath been tamed of mankind. But the tongue can no man tame. It is an unruly evil, full of deadly poison. Therewith bless we God, even the Father, and therewith curse we men, which are made after the similitude of God. Out of the same mouth proceedeth blessing and cursing. My brethren, these things ought not to be so, or ought not so to be. So let's start at the beginning and talk about this tool, this dangerous weapon. So in James chapter 3, it says, my brethren, be not many masters. Be not many masters. First of all, a master was somebody in authority. So don't get caught up trying to be an authority where you have none. Many, many times, people out of pride, whatever, try to influence people where they have no authority. Folks, it's hard enough to get people to do what they're supposed to do when you are the authority. When you don't have the authority and you're trying, it creates strife. Now, if you provide edification, brother to brother, sister to sister, you can influence for correct. Influence for, you can encourage them. You can build them up. Strife doesn't build things up. So don't try to attempt to be an authority that you're not. Knowing that we shall receive the greater condemnation, if God hasn't put you in authority and you try to be an authority, first thing you're probably not taking into consideration is your own faults. And those faults are recognized by the other people that you're trying to influence as well. Matter of fact, due to some other things, they may see it more clearly than you do. And by trying to influence authority over them, they're seeing you as a hypocrite. So it creates even more strife. Second of all, it undermines the authorities that are put in place by God. Look at where we are right now in our nation. People are talking about defunding police. Really? Yes, they're not perfect, but can you imagine what this world would be today if we didn't have any? I don't even want to. That's almost beyond my comprehension. Neither one of those is anything that we want to be part of. And because we're doing it, God's going to be harder on us than he is on the guy we're trying to fix. So what's all that rooted in? Why would I want to express authority over somebody else? Pride? All right, let's move on. James chapter 3, verse 2. For in many things we offend all. If any man offend not in word, the same is a perfect man and able to bridle the whole body. So what they're warning, what he's trying to warn us here is it's a rare man that can control the tongue all the time. But if you work at it and you become proficient at it, you will find that it is the most difficult thing you have to control. And if you can do that, the rest will be relatively easy. Ponder that. If you can get your tongue under control, the rest of your body will be relatively easy in comparison. Verse 3. Behold, we put bits in the horses' mouths that they may obey us, and we turn about their whole body. A bit in a mouth of a horse. Why is that fascinating? Well, horses are relatively large in comparison to our size. And that bit, as it just so happens, is imparting pressure on the tongue of that horse. So, our tongue is being compared to the bit, and it just so happens, you know, it is also imparting signals to the horse on his tongue. How many of you like horses? I like draft horses. I'm a big old guy. I want to sit on a big old horse. Just, that's cool. All right. Everybody's familiar with the Clydesdales. Don't get me wrong. They're probably the most glamorous draft horse. I'm not as big on the Clydesdales. There's a couple of more breeds that I kind of like better, but it's just a personal thing. I hadn't spent much time around them, so I don't know. Okay. A little video here, however. Yeah. The little girl on the Belgian. Uh-oh. That's okay. Basically, I'll describe what happens. It's a little bitty gal, okay? And her mom is there, and she has a ladder, a little short ladder, okay? And the little girl climbs up the ladder to get on top of this great big horse. She hops up there. And this is a big old Belgian. And she moves the reins, and he moves around. She's kicking on the sides, and it's like a fleet, you know. And he moves around, and he's totally under control. But you also can look at this horse and tell there's a lot of power there. If this thing got out of control, you wouldn't want to be in where he's at, right? And that's my point. Lots of power there, controlled by just a little. Okay? Now, the next in James chapter 3 verse 4, behold also the ships, which though they be so great and are driven of fierce winds, yet are they turned about with a very small helm, whithersoever the governor listeth. Ships. Now, they have, I call a rudder, they called it a helm, because that's what you're adjusting the rudder with. And relative to the size of a vessel, doesn't matter what kind of vessel, but relative to the size of that vessel, that little rudder is used to turn the vessel to go change directions. I did send you the picture of the boat, right? There you go. Now, that's a container ship. You know those containers that an 18-wheeler carries on the back? That's what those things are stacked up on this boat. I don't know how many tons of displacement that thing has, but it's incredible. And look at, relative to the size of that, now this one is designed because it's so wide they actually put two rudders on it. But that's all they use to turn that whole big old thing. Now, what if the wind was blowing? Look at the side of that ship. That's all sail area. The wind would be pushing on that. And that's way more area than this little rudder. But because of the difference in densities of water versus the difference in densities of air, You can control that ship with those little bitty rudders. Our tongue is a little bitty member, and it controls a vast realm of possibilities. The tongue changes the course of life very quickly. I'll give you some examples. We use it to say, "I do," in the marriage ceremony. Changes your life. How about in a court of law? Guilty. Life just changed. How about young man, young woman, bowing their head and saying the sinner's prayer? A life just changed. In the first case, I do, a life changed for that individual. And maybe another one. In the second case, the judge, his tongue just changed the life of someone else. But in the third case, the sinner's prayer, a life just changed their own life, and everybody's life around them just changed as well. The power of the tongue has changed the course of nations. In 1896, William Jennings Bryan was attending as the alternate candidate, presidential candidate for the Democratic National Convention. Now, this was 1896. Okay? And they allowed him to make a speech. He was known to be a great orator. And the speech he delivered was the cross of gold. Now, we won't go into that speech specifically, but because of the message that he presented at the convention, they decided to make him the primary candidate over the one he was running against. Now, this was all within the Democratic Party, right? So he became the Democratic presidential nominee, if you will. He lost. However, because of what he presented and the platform that he ran on, he changed the course of the financial portion of this nation. He influenced it. I can't say he changed it by himself, but he influenced a significant change in how business was done. Some of you will recognize the gold standard. He wanted to get away from the gold standard. Patrick Henry. Some of you probably recognize that name, but when I tell you what his greatest cry was, "Give me liberty or give me death." You recognized what he said more than the words who he was. And that declaration influenced a young, not formed yet nation into declaring independence and rebelling against taxation without representation. The tongue is like a fire. It's very destructive. William, did I give you a picture for fire? Okay. In 2008, Most of you know that I took a motorcycle trip, left here, went to the Arctic Circle in Alaska. On my way, I traveled across the country into California and then went north up the West Coast. I'm in Nevada, so I'm in a different state. I'm in Nevada, and I notice, man, there's a lot of smoke here. There must be a fire. And I traveled the rest of that day and the rest of the next day into California. And when I got to where I was going to spend the night in California, I was on the east side of the major mountain range of California. And I just happened to pull into the town that was the central hub for fighting one of the largest fires that had ever occurred at that time in California. It started on July the 5th. Now, this was about July the 10th or so. And I actually drove through where that fire had been. It was still burning in some cases. That fire consumed 1,593,000 acres. That's a lot. But there are pictures of this fire on July the 5th, I think it was, that show smoke traveling in two directions. In the central part of the fire, it's traveling inside. The most smoke was traveling out to sea. And you can clearly see it from a satellite picture. You can see that smoke is in the central part is traveling out towards Nevada, where I was driving through, and then out to sea on the northern section of it. One little ember started that fire and then spread because of the winds to other places. 13 firefighters died in that fire. Very destructive fire. God compares the destructiveness of the tongue to a fire. James chapter 5, James chapter 3, verse 5. Even so, the tongue is a little member and boasteth great things. Behold, how great a matter a little fire kindleth. And it can spread so fast, it won't be controlled. It can't be controlled. You can use your tongue to start a fire that will get far beyond any expectations you had and be more destructive than anything you realized. One guy said, the tongue can speak a word whose speed outruns the fastest sports car built. The terrible peril of the tongue untamed by the word of God is described in James chapter 3, verse 6. And the tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity. So is the tongue among our members, that it defileth the whole body and setteth on fire the course of nature. And it is set on fire of hell. Folks, that's some really, really strong words. It has the power to defile the entire body. Little small thing. Has the power to defile the whole body. Folks, think about it. The tongue is a conduit from your heart to the world. What do I mean by that? Well, let's swap it up. If you don't want people to know what you're thinking, keep your mouth shut. Part of interrogation of criminals, just get them to talk. Listen, they'll tell you. The tongue is set on fire of hell. Now, folks, this shouldn't be a surprise to any of us. We have all seen examples. We have all been examples. Families torn apart by uncontrolled tongues. Words spoken in anger between husbands and wives. Harsh words spoken by Christians one to another. Harsh words spoken by board members during board meetings. Harsh words spoken by congressmen during correct congressional meetings. You name the group, somebody has lost it and done irreparable damage. The tongue is the deadliest weapon known to man. But God can use it. God does use it. God desires that we use it for His honor and glory. He is the only one that can change your heart, and therefore is the only one that can change how you use your tongue. But you have to decide to give Him the reins. We're going to look at a little bit different section of Scripture. And the context of what we're going to look at here is essentially what the new man looks like when you put him on. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 26. You have heard this quoted too many times. And I dare say it's misquoted just about every time you hear it. Be ye what? And then what's it say? So what's that say? It's telling you if you're angry, you're probably sinning. Well, Brother Artis, it says that Jesus was angry. Yeah, it does. But go look at that. When He was angry, it talks about Him using a whip. But what does it say He did to get the whip? He sat down and built it. He was very thoughtful about what He did. And His anger was a righteous anger. Most of our mental paradigm about that situation was He ran through the temple screaming and hollering, telling them to get out. I beg to differ. I think He was grinning. I think He was enjoying Himself. Because He knew He was in the center of God's will. I don't think He was harsh. I don't think there was any malice. He was just using the authority He had to make a point that He had the authority to make. I hope you had come to those conclusions already, but I hope that changes what you're thinking about anger. Continue on. Let not the sun go down on your wrath. 27. Hello. There we go.
neither give place to the devil. What's going to happen if your anger causes you to sin? You're going to give place to the devil. If you get angry, don't go to sleep angry. Subconsciously, you'll mull over that all night. You won't sleep worth a flip, and you get up the next morning ready to fight. Am I wrong? 28. Let him that stole steal no more. Whoa, whoa, whoa. What? We're talking about anger. What's this doing here? What's the attitude when I go to steal something? I deserve that more than he does. Flip that around now. Why are you angry most of the time? Well, you did something to me that I didn't like. I don't deserve to be treated like that. Oh, really? What does God say you deserve? Oh, got quiet then. Yeah, you deserve a lot worse than you got. Let him that stole no more, but rather let him... Yeah, let him that stole steal no more, but rather let him labor. Why? Working with his hands the things which is good that he may give to somebody that needs. He's talking about an attitude. An attitude that gets you angry and an attitude that keeps you from getting angry. If you're worried about serving somebody that has a need, you ain't got time to get angry. It's a waste of time. And it destroys what you're probably trying to do. Moving on down to verse 30. And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed unto the day of redemption. The tongue can cause you to grieve the Holy Spirit. Where's the Holy Spirit dwell? In me. And that Holy Spirit is my only hope for doing the right thing in any given situation. When I grieve the Holy Spirit, you know what happens? He closes the door and he says, okay, challenge yourself. Let me know how it turns out. My only hope for getting it right is listening to that still small voice down in here instead of my raging pride. Whereby we are sealed unto the day of redemption. Verse 31. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. Whatever words you want to use for being angry and imparting your will that probably isn't under your authority, it's covered right there. The tongue is full of deadly poison. If I gave you a fragile bottle and told you that in this bottle was a poison so deadly that if it got outside this bottle, it would kill everybody in this building, what would you want to do with it? Sarah, talk out loud. She's going to put it in a place that's not going to get broken, right? Oh, wait a minute. Why shouldn't I take it? Oh, this is, you were perfect. Why shouldn't I take it and put it in the nursery? But we don't mind getting angry in front of them. Why not take it down to children's church? We don't mind getting angry in front of them. You see what we're teaching them? Can't hear what you're saying because of what you're doing. Now, folks, I'm going to go ahead and admit right here. Okay? I'm way too familiar with that. Okay? I know whereof I speak. That's why I know how dangerous it is. It's full of deadly poison. Label it for yourself. Put it in a place you can't get it out of easily. Keep it hidden. Don't let it get out. Because it kills everything it gets on. Critical tongues have caused churches to close their doors, killed everybody in the church if the church don't open the doors, prevented people from ever returning to church. Folks, there's folks that will never darken the doors of Grace Baptist Church again because of angry words that have been said. Prevented or caused people to lose their testimony for the Lord. Folks, never allow negative communication to pass, or critical communication, to pass across your lips. Now think on that. Of all the quotes that you have ever heard from Christ, have any of them ever been negative or critical? You don't have time to think about all of them right now. But what I just said struck a little chord in you, because you've read enough scripture to know. All right? Pride makes us believe that we should deliver a harsh and critical judgment to others. However, Christ always used questions to reveal what those in His presence needed to understand. How do you say what needs to be said without saying it? Get the other person to think about it on his own. He used questions. Now, we have expounded on the negative side. Let's spend some time on the positive side. The tongue, the thrilling possibilities of a God-controlled tongue. James chapter 3, verse 9. Therewith bless we God, even the Father, and therewith curse we men, which are made after the similitude of God. Folks, I hope this morning when you were singing those songs, it blessed you. Because it blessed me hearing them. It blessed me singing them. It was fun. Candace, man, that offertory today, that was good. The choice of songs that Miss DeWanna sang this morning, excellent. Excellent. What should we be using our tongues for? William, call up Romans chapter 10, verse number 9. That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth, who? The Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. We ought to be confessing God, confessing Jesus Christ. He gave us a salvation that we enjoy, and we ought to be sharing it with everybody. Acts chapter 1, verse 8. But they shall receive power. After that, the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be what? Okay, folks. If you're saved, what does that statement say? Receive power. After that, the Holy Ghost. Well, if I'm saved, He's in me, right? And what's that going to cause? Ye shall be what? Witnesses. Folks, if you're not finding a conduit to witness, are you really saved? Unto me, both in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and the uttermost parts of the earth. Hardest one to witness to is your family. Why? They know who you really are. Easiest ones to witness to are those folks that you probably never see again. We've got some excellent missionaries. Our last business meeting with our new guys in here was good. We talked about what we're going to do with some of the missionaries, and we took on some folks. Matter of fact, when are we going to announce that? Tonight? This one or tonight? This one, okay. All right. So what you're saying is, hurry up, artist. The opportunity of witnessing is the highest purpose of the tongue. Yesterday I went to one of the most beautiful, no, I'm going to say it right outright. The most beautiful funeral service I have ever attended for Miss Jean Summers. If you missed it, you missed a wonderful time. Her family members talked about all of the things that she has done. Bottom line, folks, that lady, when she got saved, determined that she was going to use her life for Christ. She didn't have much. Y'all know her. She was a little old bitty thing. She studied and used what she had, got a burden for kids, learned how to use a wordless book. And if you ever got around her, like one of them said, he said, if you ever got around her, he said, the next thing you know, this would come out. He pulled out the wordless book. He said, this was hers. He said, I don't know where she kept it. And it was a pretty good size one. You know, I've seen some little bitty ones. It was easy to, he said, this is a pretty good size. He said, here it comes. And he said she'd go through it. Folks, she learned how to use a wordless book, and by George, she committed that she was going to do it. And if you got around her, you was going to get some on you. She committed to use her tongue for the glory of God and then followed through. What was different about Jean Summers than 90% of us? She followed through. She didn't care who had hair-lipped. I'll go with another story from the funeral. They went to California and were going through the Redwood Forest. Big old beauty. If you've never been there, you need to go. Okay, it's just awesome to see what God did there. And they walked up, and there's one fenced off, got flowers and other kind of stuff around. And she said, what's up with that? He said, well, there's a group that come and pray to this tree. She said, what? He said, yeah, that's their God. Crossed over that rope, walked up and kicked that tree. Can you see that? That she knew God. And she didn't, you weren't going to go against her God. She was for Him. That's all God wants us to do. If you were ever in her presence, this wasn't intended to be a brag on Miss Jean, but man, I can't think of anybody, any better candidate. An example of what we can do. Another one of her family members said, If an old dried up lady can do it, you can. That's what she's shouting down there. Now. Well, she's probably not, because she's probably not paying attention to us. She's probably still elated. She's in the presence of Jesus Christ. But that's all she did, folks. She committed that she was going to use her, everything she had, for Jesus Christ, and did it. And that's why it was so good. Everybody that got up there had example after example of the stuff that she did for God. I hope, I'm like my buddy Jeff. Y'all have heard him say it. I hope one person, when they're going by my casket, says, "That was a godly man." What can we do with our tongue? Witness. Teaching a class. She taught, like I said, with that wordless book, she taught nursing homes, she taught kids, she taught 5-day club. Every time she had the opportunity, she was doing it. Teaching them the gospel. Training our children in the way of the Lord. Once again, learn that wordless book. Every time she got around a kid, she was doing it. They sang a song, a kind of a hokey little song yesterday, and I wish I had written down the words, because it's simple. I want to teach it to Maverick. Speaking a tender word to a troubled soul. Folks, there's folks out there that are hurting. Some of them you know better than I do. All they need is to know that somebody cares. What made Miss Jean so good at what she did is those kids understood she cared. All we need to do is get outside of our box and actually get close enough to let somebody hurt us. That's what caring is. I don't care what happens, I care for you. Speak words to bring peace between enemies. Matthew chapter 8, verse 9. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God. I know of very few people that are good at that. But I also know that the man I referred to earlier got angry, left here, and a couple of decades later came back. Because over time, people kept telling him, "You know, we love you." And he came back. Took a long time, but it works. Telling friends and associates of God's love for them. Folks, what better thing to do than have your friends and co-workers get saved? What'll make them better to work with? Getting saved. When describing the use of the tongue, what it looks like when being filled with the Spirit, Paul said in Ephesians chapter 5, verse 19, speaking to yourselves in psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. Speaking to yourself, psalms, hymns, spiritual songs, making melody in your heart unto God. Giving thanks always for all things unto God, that the Father and the Father in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. You give thanks for everything that happens to you? Do you give thanks for the bad stuff that happens to you? Because the only way that you can appreciate what God does is to understand that the bad stuff is there for your good and His glory. Psalm chapter 71, verse 8, "Let my mouth be filled with thy praise and with thy honor all the day." When you go through the day, do you catch yourself singing? And I'll refer to something out of my time. Some of you will recognize it, some of you won't. "Taking Care of Business" by Bachman Turner Overdrive. Or,
Are you singing songs, hymns, spiritual songs that we sing here? Not bragging, just giving you an example of what God can do. I used to listen to all that foolishness, taking care of business, all them other things that rock and roll back in my day. But you know what I catch myself singing now? Because I don't listen to the radio. You can ask my wife and my kids. I don't listen to the radio. I'm going down the road, I don't listen to the radio. I don't have Sirius and all that other stuff. Me and my imagination and whatever God puts on my heart. My phone's got the Bible in it. I go down the road listening to the Bible, if I'm listening to anything. And I'll be singing stuff all during the day. And it's hymns. A lot of times it's what we've been practicing for choir. That's what's rolling through my head. What's rolling through your head? When you go through the day, is your mouth a good conduit? God changes men, the tongues of men, by changing their heart. Moses was stuttering and wasn't confident. Then he was speaking the conditions of God to Pharaoh. Peter, cursing and denying any association with Christ. And then preaching on Pentecost. Paul, consenting to the stoning of Stephen. And in telling the good news of the Savior, they stoned him for. And writing the lion's share of the New Testament. James chapter 3 verse 10 says, Out of the same mouth proceedeth blessing and cursing. My brethren, these things ought not to be so. Commit today to submit your tongue to God.